Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 6, The Church and Tribulation.
Isn't it amazing that when you see the false prophets speaking, like in Jeremiah and Isaiah and other places, the false prophets are predicting that they're not going to be conquered by the beast. They're going to escape the beast. Well, it never happened, did it? And yet, now they're saying the same thing. We're going to escape. The beast is not going to have any power over us. We're not going to be involved in that time. They use 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to prove that. But it says very plainly there that not to be deceived, that our gathering together unto the Lord is not going to happen except the falling away come first and the son of perdition is revealed. It's not going to happen. And the beast is going to once again bring God's people to their cross. It's God's purpose. It was the beast that put Jesus on his cross, right? And it was the predestined will of God for that to happen. I'll just read it to you. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23 is this: Him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you by the hands of lawless men did crucify and slay, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death. Again, in chapter 4, it says, For of a truth, in this city, against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained come to pass. Now, for some reason, people have the idea that because Jesus went to his cross, we don't have to go to ours. But we do. I mean, God used the beast and the harlot and the son of perdition to bring Jesus to his cross. And he's going to do the same with the church. What happened in Jesus' day is going to be fulfilled again. The same cast of characters is still with us. They've multiplied, but they're still with us. And that's what the Lord told me. He said, everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was going to happen again in our day, except the cast of characters has been multiplied many times over. So you can see a prophecy there of what's going to happen. And Jesus couldn't put himself on the cross. God predestined and foreordained that he would use the son of perdition, Judas, the harlot, apostate Judaism, and the beast, the Roman Empire, to do that. Now we've got those same characters, except now it's not apostate Judaism, it's apostate Christianity. See? And how many of you know that our biggest enemy in the days to come is not even going to be the beast, it's going to be the harlot? Because really, the beast didn't want anything to do with Jesus, did it? They didn't want that. They were being politically pressured into doing this with Jesus because of jealousy and because of the false prophets that ruled over Israel. They were being pressured into this. We need what's coming, but we can't imagine how great this is going to be. The outpouring of the unleavened bread for 7 days is going to be started by the man-child in Revelation chapter 12. This outpouring of the unleavened bread. The truth that's going to be given in the last 7 days is going to be unimaginable. Truths that have been hidden from the foundation of the world are suddenly going to be revealed to God's people. And the truth is going to make everybody responsible. Because you're not really all that responsible until you hear the truth. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is imputed when you know truth and you reject it, you see. So truth is going to divide the church. What we're calling the church, what we observe to be the church, is going to divide the church. Truth is. And look at Isaiah chapter 32 for just a few minutes with me. Isaiah 32. This is talking about the wilderness. It says so in the text. The wilderness, as you know, Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation 17 tells us that the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years are both called the wilderness. And the church is going into that wilderness. Verse 1, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in justice. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind." Isn't that something? We've got a secret place. "And a covert from the tempest, as streams of water in a dry place, as the shade of a great rock in a weary land." But where are the people of God? Verse 9, "Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, you careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech, for days beyond a year shall ye be troubled." You know what days beyond a year that is? See, the careless women have been thinking that they were going to fly away before the first year. But they're actually going to go all the way through the 7 and 40 days into the 8th before they're going to be rescued. "For days beyond a year shall ye be troubled, you careless women. For the vintage shall fail, and the ingathering," Exodus 23 calls it the ingathering, that's the harvest. "And the ingathering shall not come." Why? Because the vintage shall fail. There's no fruit. Remember what you need for fruit. You need the unleavened bread of the Word of God. That's going to be shared during the tribulation period. And not only that, what else is going to be shared during the tribulation period is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You remember, after Jesus' 3.5 year ministry, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit called the former rain. It empowered those disciples to walk like Jesus walked. You know, even Peter, who denied the Lord after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he stood up and was used to convert thousands, 3,000, 5,000. Well, it was after 3.5 years of the man-child's ministry that this outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. You know, when the latter rain, everybody tells us the latter rain started in the 1900s. That's not true. The Bible tells us in Hosea that it's going to come on the morning of the third day. Here we are. We're on the morning of the third day. Now, there's something else we're told. Because what the Lord told me was that everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was going to be fulfilled again. You know what that means? It means after 3.5 years of the man-child's ministry, there's going to be an outpouring of the latter rain. And the disciples are going to, because they're about to face the beast and the harlot, they're going to be empowered to walk as Jesus walked, to take up their cross and so on. You think the latter rain, you think the former rain started at the end of Jesus' ministry? It didn't start there, because at the end of Jesus' ministry, he breathed on the disciples. He said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And then 10 days later, it came as a rushing mighty wind. See, Jesus had the former rain before he gave it to the disciples. The first fruits in the tribulation period, they're going to have the latter rain. And they're going to impart the latter rain to the disciples, the witnesses, at the beginning of the second 3.5 years. Everything that has happened will happen. History is going to repeat itself. Ecclesiastes 1:9. The things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. History keeps on repeating itself. The Bible says we have a word of prophecy made more sure. You know, you hear a lot of prophecies, and you just don't know sometimes which ones are right and which ones are wrong. But we have a prophecy that's sure. You know what it is? It's history. The things that have been are the things that shall be. What's happened will happen. What happened with Israel? Everybody thinks that somehow the church is better than Israel. They won't fall into the same mistakes that Israel made. Now that's a lie. You know, they've both fallen away for the last 2,000 years. What happened to Israel has happened to the church. There is a falling away. And what did the former reign come to restore? Joel chapter 2. Everything that the palmer worm and the canker worm took from God's people, the former reign came to restore. But they rejected it. The Jews did. And now, what do you think the latter reign is going to restore? Everything that the palm worm, the canker worm, the caterpillar has taken from God's crop. We're God's crop. The latter rain is going to restore. You know what happened in the book of Acts? The only difference between what happened there and what's going to happen here is it's going to happen on a much larger scale. Much larger scale. A great outpouring of the Holy Spirit to empower people. People are afraid of the tribulation period. We shouldn't be afraid of that. That's where everything that Christ is going to be restored to the body. All of the unleavened bread is going to be restored to the body. All of the power of the Spirit is going to be restored to the body. This is our opportunity to see the book of Acts and the ministry of Jesus. Because a lot of folks don't realize we're going to see the ministry of Jesus. It's just not going to be in that same physical body that he was in. You know why Jesus left that body? He left that body so he could live in a corporate body, so he could continue doing what he did in that body. And what happened? Religion. That's what happened. Religion. A falling away. God laid out the plan. It was perfect. We are the body of Christ. We're not the body of another Christ. We're not the body of a weak and worthless Christ. A Christ that doesn't save, heal, deliver. We're the body of the Jesus Christ. And as soon as we figure this out, He's going to be able to... excuse me. He's going to be able to live in us. That is His plan. And the restoration that we're going to see in the tribulation period is Christ living in His body. And it is awesome. God has shared with me several revelations about this, and I'd like to share one of them with you tomorrow about the coming of Christ in His body. It's exciting to me to see the real gospel. The real gospel is that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. The gospel can't be fulfilled unless we walk by faith. We need to begin to see ourselves as the body of Jesus Christ. In this wilderness that we're reading about here, these women thought they were going to escape. The women, of course, are the seed of the seven women in the book of Revelation, which is the church. Right? Seven women shall take hold of one man, Isaiah 4:1, in that day, saying, "We'll eat our own bread, and we'll wear our own apparel, but let us be called by your name. Take thou away our reproach." Isn't that where the church is now? Look, Jesus, never mind that unleavened bread. We'll eat our own bread. We'll make our own. We'll put leaven in it. You know? And never mind being dressed up with the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 13. Yeah. We'll put on our own works. Yeah. That's where the church is now. But God loves His people. And He's got a plan. And it's going to be perfected. I don't say that all of the called are going to be saved. They're not. But all of the elect will. Many are the called, but few are the chosen. He spoke that at the end of the parable where he invited them to come and partake of the marriage feast. And the ones that were called, many of the ones that were called, didn't come. They were too busy. Too busy with the affairs of this life. And they didn't come. And yet, that feast was the one that was to empower them to walk like Jesus walked. Instead, many of those people went into their great and terrible day of the Lord and were destroyed by the beast because they didn't accept it. And that's history. That's history, and that's what's going to happen. See, in the days that are coming, the people who will eat the unleavened bread of the Word of God will naturally bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. Let me exhort you to get into the Bible and just read it for yourself. Don't accept what anybody says. You know, I told you I had some words of knowledge. Are you supposed to believe that? Well, you can study the Word of God, and if you get a witness, fine. But anybody that says they're prophesying to you or gives you a word of knowledge, you're not that doesn't necessarily supposed to be an effect upon you because it may not be true. You know? So what I did in the very beginning of my Christian walk was I got very suspicious. First of all, I wasn't raised as a Christian and I wasn't raised with the Word of God. But I suddenly got this consuming urge to read the Word of God. And I read it. And when I felt an urge to go visit the people of God, because I really hadn't been going to any church, I was just reading day and night, day and night, day and night. I was invited to a church, and I went there, and I could see that they were denying most of what I had read. And I thanked God after that that I didn't go and accept from man the truth before I had to go and look it up for myself. I saw this as a great benefit to me that I had not been schooled in the Bible, honestly. I found this be a great benefit because I was just looking for truth and I didn't have my own axe to grind and I didn't have to prove any religion. And when the religious folks came to me and told me, look, David, God doesn't do that anymore, I knew they were liars because I was seeing Him do it. And so I left that church looking for one that believed in more of the gospel. And I found one, stayed there for about a year. You know what? If you study this word, you'll outgrow religion very, very fast. We don't need religion. Religion is the harlot. And it's not just that harlot over there. It's usually the one you're sitting in, you know. We don't need religion telling us what the Bible says. We need to go and find out for ourselves. The Bible says, seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, fear and trembling. Well, that's what's going to happen to these seven women here in the... They learn to tremble. Verse 11. Tremble, you women that are at ease. Be troubled, you careless ones. Strip you. In other words, take off your own clothing that you put on. Put on Christ. And make you bare and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall smite upon the breast for the pleasant fields and for the fruitful vine. In other words, they're going to desire after fruit. Well, I thought we had fruit. No, we had religion. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars. Yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. For the palace shall be forsaken. And the populous city, that's the congregation, do you understand the congregation? The populous city shall be deserted. And the hill and the watchtower shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses and a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be esteemed as a forest. Awesome. The wilderness is where we're going to bear fruit, folks. That's where the church is going to bear fruit. They're going to bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. They're going to walk as Jesus walked. And those that won't will be persecutors. You understand? Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. And what He did with His sword is He separated Judaism, those that followed Him and those that didn't. The majority were persecutors, the rest were going to their cross. Well, this time it's not Judaism, this time it's Christianity. A great persecution is going to come our way from Christianity, from people who will not depart. Do you know what separated the church in the early days? It was the full gospel. The full gospel. Think about it. Those people who did not want what Jesus had or what He offered and were criticizing the move of the Holy Spirit through Him were people who would not accept the full gospel. And they persecuted Him and His disciples for it. They didn't enter into the Spirit. They did not receive the Spirit. And they did not enter into the things of the Spirit or the power of the Spirit. And that's where we're headed. Exactly what happened in the book of Acts is going to happen again. Exactly. Except this time, it's worldwide. But the power of the Spirit is going to be poured out, and the wilderness, God's people are going to bear fruit. Verse 16, then justice shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness shall abide in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and confidence forever. And my people shall abide in a peaceable habitation, and in safe dwellings, and in quiet resting places. You know, it's going to be very important that we believe Psalm 91 in the tribulation period. See, Jesus made provision for everything. Everything. He made provision for the healing of our body, the healing of our soul, the healing of our circumstances, the protection. Jesus became cursed for us, Galatians 3 and 13. God took all of our curse and put it upon Jesus. And if we abide in Christ by faith, we will see that. He already took away all of our sins. Sin is not the problem. Faith is the problem. He has already taken away all of our sins and all of the curse that goes with it. We are delivered. We should not depart from the Word of God for any other gospel. But it shall hail in the downfall of the forest, and the city shall be utterly laid low. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth the feet of the ox and the ass. The city shall utterly be laid low. You know it's going to be like it was in Russia at the time of the Bolshevik Revolution? I did a lot of studying on that. I read up what happened. And there became two churches. There became an underground church and an above-ground church, and the above-ground church was just a stooge for the state and couldn't be trusted. Their doctrine couldn't be trusted, and they couldn't be trusted. And most of the ministers were in bed with the state, so they couldn't be trusted. That's where we're headed. And you know what? You know, people talk about all the things that the government's doing and all the things that the false prophets are doing, but you know who's doing it all? The Lord's doing it all. The Bible says He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He's repeating history. He's raising up a beast to persecute the saints, to bring them to their cross. Maybe it's not always a physical cross, but you know that if we do not die spiritually, in other words, die to self, we have to die physically because there's only one way to enter into life. There are going to be some people that are not going to die. These are special people that are not going to die. You know why? Because the last enemy to be overcome is death. You know what it means for these people not to ever die? It's because they've conquered all the enemies that led up to the last enemy. You understand? God is sovereign. He is almighty and He is sovereign. And there are people that are going to be alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And they're going to be that way because they've walked with the Lord. The soul that sins must die. There's not one jot or one tittle going to pass away from the law until it's all fulfilled. The Bible says the soul that sins must die. If you don't die spiritually, meaning to self, you will have to die physically to enter into the kingdom. There's only one way to enter into the kingdom, through death. The only way you could get into the promised land is you had to go through Jordan. It represented death, you know. And it's not going to be a bad thing for saints to die because they'll enter into the presence of the Lord. But there is a prize that's greater than that because There are that Jesus raised up two witnesses. Jesus, the man-child of his day, raised up two witnesses. And these two witnesses went forth into every place he was about to come. You follow me? They went out two by two in every place he was about to come. And they said, "We are his witnesses." Are you following me? There is a fulfillment between Jesus' day and our day that's perfect. There's going to be two witnesses in our day that's going to cover the earth with the gospel. They're going to cover the earth with the gospel that they received from the man-child. And that's going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the man-child is going to be the first fruits of them that come into maturity of walking in Jesus Christ. And God's given them the job of sharing this unleavened bread. And they're going to send out two witnesses all over the earth. Miracles are going to be happening all over the earth. And a persecution against the saints all over the earth. And believe it or not, I believe that God's people are going to dwell in peaceable habitations, in quiet resting places. The peace of God is going to be upon God's people because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and because of revelation of the truth. The unleavened bread is going to be poured out. We think about those days, or many people think about those days, and many people don't want to accept the fact that the church is going through the tribulation period because of they fear. They have fear of going into those days. This is nothing we're supposed to... Fear is the last thing you want to do. First of all, we have... You understand some of the things I've been saying today? The expectations that we have is a revival of true Christianity, which we haven't seen in 2,000 years. There's been a great falling away. Most of the church is still in the dark ages. They've never climbed up out of that, out from under that rock. We have some awesome days coming. We have never seen anything like it. Great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, great move of God. And all of this is going to come about because God's people are motivated. They're motivated by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They're motivated by the beast. They're motivated by the fact that they know they only have a short time left. You know, like the devil? He's going to be motivated too. He knows he has a short time left. The saints are going to be the same way. They know they have a short time left.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.